Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 4. Gajendra returns to the spiritual world. Text 14:15. Yathanu kirtayantye tach. Treyas kama dridataya. Shuchaya prata uttaya. Duswapnad yupasantaye. Yathanu kirtayantye tach. Treyas kama dvijataya. Shruchaya prata uttaya. Duswapnad yupasantaye. Yathanu kirtayantye tach. Treyas kama dvijataya. Shruchaya prata uttaya. Duswapnad yupasantaye. Vaishnavis. Yata, without deviation. Anukirtayanti, they chant. Etat, this narration of the deliverance of Gajendra. Shreyakama, persons who desire their own auspiciousness. Dvijataya, the twice born. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. Shuchaya, especially the Brahmanas who are always clean. Prata, in the morning. Uttaya, after getting up from sleep. Duswapna Adi, beginning with sleeping badly at night. Upashantaye, to counteract all troublesome positions. Translation of text 14. My dear King Pritchett, I have now described the wonderful power of Krishna as displayed when the Lord delivered the king of the elephants. O best of the Kuru dynasty, those who hear this narration become fit to be promoted to the higher planetary systems. Simply because of hearing this narration, they gain a reputation as devotees. They are unaffected by the contamination of Kali Yuga, and they never see bad dreams. Text 15. Therefore, after getting up from bed in the morning, those who desire their own welfare, especially the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and in particular the Brahmana Vaishnavas, should chant this narration as it is, without deviation, to counteract the troubles of bad dreams. Purport. Every verse in the Vedic literature, especially in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, is a Vedic mantra. Here the words yatha nukirtayanti are used to recommend that this literature be presented as it is. Unscrupulous persons, however, deviate from the actual narration and interpret the text in their own way with grammatical jugglery. Such deviations are to be avoided. This is a Vedic injunction supported by Shukadev Goswami, one of the Mahajanas or authorities. He says, yatha nukirtayanti. One should recite the mantra as it is without deviation, for then one will be eligible to rise to the platform of all good fortune. Shukadeva Goswami especially recommends that those who are Brahmanas, Shukjaya, recite all these mantras after rising from bed in the morning. Because of sinful activities at night, we have bad dreams, which are very troublesome. Indeed, Maharaj Yudhisthira was obliged to see hell because of a slight deviation from devotional service to the Lord. Therefore, duswapna, bad dreams, occur because of sinful activities. A devotee sometimes accepts a sinful person as his disciple, and to counteract the sinful reactions he accepts from the disciple, he has to see a bad dream. Nonetheless, the spiritual master is so kind that in spite of having bad dreams due to the sinful disciple, he accepts this troublesome business for the deliverance of the victims of Kali Yuga. After initiation, therefore, a disciple should be extremely careful not to commit again any sinful act that might cause difficulties for himself and the spiritual master. Before the deity, before the fire, before the spiritual master, and before the Vaishnavas, the honest disciple promises to refrain from all sinful activity. Therefore, he must not again commit sinful acts and thus create a troublesome situation. Om Gana Chimadandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gobhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. You may be wondering about these benedictions offered by Shukadeva Goswami. The Bhagavatam is the Shastra of pure love personified. In this text 14, you hear that, O best of the Kuru dynasty, those who hear this narration become fit to be promoted to the higher planetary systems. So you may wonder, why are these apparently material benedictions being offered? Right in the beginning of Bhagavatam, the mission statement of Srimad Bhagavatam is there. Dhanama projita kaitavocha paramo namatsaranam satam. The Bhagavatam completely sweeps out any kind of materially motivated religion. The Bhagavatam is for the pure in heart, who are free from envy. That means not simply envy amongst living entities, but envy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We'll speak later about how that envy of Krishna results in the worst nightmare, material existence. So why is Shukadev offering these apparently material benedictions? He does say other things. Simply because of hearing this narration, they gain a reputation as devotees. They are unaffected by the contamination of Kali Yuga, and they never see bad dreams. He's giving you an all-around package of how auspicious hearing these pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are. In a civilized society, which we don't have today, people are aware of going to the heavenly planets, and they value that. So Shukadev Goswami is just casting the spotlight on hearing these Bhagavatam narrations and saying, look at all the things you can get. Just to add more understanding that this is how all auspicious Bhagavatam is. It's not that he's recommending you should hear Bhagavatam to go to the heavenly planets, but he's saying that can be one of the effects. Meanwhile, of course, everything in Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to revive our original love of Krishna. In the Krishna Lila Stava by Sanatana Goswami, so impeccably translated by His Grace Gopi Pranadana Prabhu, you find verses composed by Sanatana Goswami glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam. And he refers to Srimad Bhagavatam as his friend, his eternal companion, his Prabhu, his master, and he bows down to Srimad Bhagavatam repeatedly. He describes Srimad Bhagavatam as a nectarian ocean, the exact image of Krishna. And he explains that every syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam lets loose a flood of Krishna praying. Every syllable. You may be wondering why every morning we gather to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Is it just some ritual? Is it something you just have to do if you want to be known as a sincere devotee? Bhagavatam says, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Eternally hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And Lord Chaitanya has stated, before you are liberated, hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And after you are liberated from material existence, go on hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. By associating with the exact image of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we revive our exact personality, our exact form, our exact characteristics, which have nothing to do with the material body and mind. In the second canto of Bhagavatam, it's explained that simply by giving oral reception to Srimad Bhagavatam, very shortly you get the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You recognize that presence. You see, by associating with the sound vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam, just like by associating with the Hare Krishna mantra, you have Krishna's presence. But you may not be conscious of that. But Shukadeva Goswami, in the second canto, assures you that in a short time, you'll be conscious that you have the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as you hear Srimad Bhagavatam. It's like you give a priceless gem to a little child. You cannot deny that the child has the gem. The child has the gem in his or her hand. But the child has no understanding of the value of the gem. Therefore, any moment the child can just toss it away or swallow it or flush it down the toilet. mature in knowledge, the child realizes, I have a priceless gem in my hand. So similarly, bhakti is like that. From the very beginning, we're put in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead through sound vibration, the Hare Krishna mantra, Srimad Bhagavatam. And gradually, as the years go by, we start to realize what is the incalculable value of this jewel we have in our hand. In Sanatana Goswami's Krishna Lila Stava, he refers to Bhagavatam as the most precious jewel from the mine of Vedic knowledge. We may take Bhagavatam for granted, thinking, well, there are many things I don't understand. There are many things that defy current materialistic conceptions. By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees, we develop a natural affinity, a natural taste for hearing Bhagavatam. And what happens is that Krishna in the heart, as the Paramatma, is pleased when he sees you hearing, and he is active in your heart to cleanse away all the troublesome lust, anger, greed, doubts. Doubts are caused by dirtiness in the heart. You might think, oh, my, any doubts I have about bhakti are caused by my fine intelligence. No, doubts are caused by the pollution in the heart. And what is the cure for those doubts? The cure is to purify the heart. And part of that purificatory process is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Then you become more and more aware of the extraordinary, incalculable value you have simply by hearing Bhagavatam. It's not just a religious ritual that we're going through. The morning program, Bhagavatam class, sit and hear. Now we are getting the darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And every syllable that we hear of Bhagavatam is setting loose a flood of Krishna prema. And more we'll become aware of that as we mature in bhakti. What else happens as we mature in bhakti? We see what Shukadeva Goswami also explains in Second Canto, that the sound vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam enters into the holes of your ear and then sits on the lotus flower of your eternal relationship with Krishna. And by the Bhagavatam sound vibration sitting on the lotus flower of your heart, all the remaining residues of contamination are purified. Just like the autumn rains clear away the muddy, murky water that came from the rainy season, which in India precedes autumn. When the rains of the rainy season come, it's such a torrent that all the rivers become muddy. But then, after the rainy season's over, and this slight rain in the autumn, that slight rain clears all the muddy rivers and reservoirs of water, and everything becomes clean and crystal clear. So this is Shukadeva Goswami's example about what happens by your properly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Your original relationship with Krishna becomes revived. So whether you are conscious of it or not, the medicine is working. The Bhagavatam enters through the holes of your ear and sits on the lotus flower of your original relationship with Krishna. And gradually, that becomes realized. What is your original relationship with Krishna? By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And hearing Bhagavatam means the association of devotees. Lord Kapila Dev has said in the third canto, Satam Prasangan Mama Virya Samvido Bhavanti Hrikkana Rasayana Kata. Hearing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead is especially potent in the satsanga, the association of those dedicated to achieving the Supreme Eternal. And not only are the talks especially potent, but they are especially sweet. And Kapila Dev explains, Taj Joshinat Ashu Upavarga Vartmini. By hearing in the association of devotees, the doorway to freedom from material existence swings wide open. Shadaratiya Bhakti Anukramishati. And you get strong realization. And you get attraction and attachment. And ultimately your bhakti becomes full-blown, fully developed. So you may question, just by hearing Bhagavatam, it has so many things I don't understand, so many things which seem exotic. This is why we need the guidance of the Parampara in approaching Srimad Bhagavatam, so that our mundane calculations don't destroy our possibilities for receiving the highest benefit. We are dedicated to Srimad Bhagavatam because that is the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are following Krishna, who comes as his own devotee, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he instructs us to take shelter of Bhagavatam. So we're not just focusing on Bhagavatam due to some contrived religious ritual. We are doing it because it's the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his representatives receive that order through Parampara. So that's why, in case you wondered, that's why in the first canto, Srila Prabhupada starts off with a biography of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he's establishing the point that you're getting Bhagavatam through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on his order. And therefore, the whole endeavor becomes successful. Again, Shukadeva Goswami, in describing some material benefits, is doing this standard Vedic way of praising something. You pick out all the auspicious things, not simply the spiritual auspiciousness, but also the material auspiciousness. And you say, all this will happen. It's a way of glorification. It doesn't mean that he's saying you should hear Bhagavatam to go to the heavenly planets. But he's trading in the currency of the day. In a civilized society, people are concerned with going to the heavenly planets, material auspiciousness. So Shukadeva Goswami is saying, all right, you can get all that too. That's how great Bhagavatam is. This will give you some idea, since this is the currency that you are trading. This is what you value so much. Yep, heavenly planets, sure. But it doesn't mean he himself is recommending that. He himself says, akama sarva kama va, moksha kama udaradi. Whether you are free from material desires, or whether you are full of material desires, or moksha kama, whether you are lusty for liberation from material existence, never mind. Tivrena bhakti yogena. Engage in service to Krishna. And everything will be successful. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, in one purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that this Krishna consciousness movement is meant to attract all types of persons, even those who are full of material desires. And by their taking shelter of the bhakti process in the association of devotees, their consciousness becomes purified. And they forget their material aspirations. So he makes that point clear, that this Krishna conscious movement is meant to attract all types of persons, including those who are absorbed in material desires. But the process is offered how to become purified. A particular definition of management Srila Prabhupada gave that I like to remember often is, management means to create a desire in persons who are not interested in Krishna, create a desire in them to want to know Krishna. They think they're not attracted, but by management, an arrangement is made, and they realize, I'm actually attracted to Krishna. Just like your huge Rath Yatra endeavor here. It's a managemental arrangement. You can look at it in that way. Of course, we're seeing Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra riding in their carts. And if you know Chaitanya Charitamrita, you're thinking about Krishna's dearmost consort, inviting him back to Vrindavan. All that's going on. But you can look at it from strictly a managemental organizational point of view. It's a whole endeavor to create attraction in persons who think they have no attraction to Krishna. Similarly, we distribute Srimad Bhagavatam. And you may wonder, how can anyone understand these books? And you distribute an eighth canto to someone, and they start reading Gajendra the elephant. Pulled from behind by God. Meanwhile, God severs the mouth of a crocodile in the river. Okay. Once we have the realization that Bhagavatam is the same as Krishna's presence, then we are able to see. Shukadeva Goswami is presenting the light in the darkness. Vyasadeva Sutta Goswami glorifies him for that. Sanatana Goswami also in Krishna Lila Stava glorifies Bhagavatam as saying it's the light in the darkness. As we become more mature devotees, our relationship with Bhagavatam becomes sweeter and sweeter. And ultimately, we can look forward to the sound vibration of the Bhagavatam reviving our eternal constitutional position as the sound vibration sits on the lotus flower of the heart. That lotus flower is a metaphor for the original relationship with Krishna. So therefore, it's so important for us to hear Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. Sometimes there's a misunderstanding that when you become very spiritually advanced, you'll go off on your own, and then you'll really get it together. You'll start to revive your eternal relationship with Krishna off on your own. But Shukadeva Goswami is telling you that the Bhagavatam will do that. And the most potent way for the Bhagavatam to do that is in the association of devotees. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur instructs that you realize your eternal constitutional position within the kirtan, within the devotees glorifying Krishna. And then, after you've realized your eternal constitutional position, you may go off on your own. You may go off on your own. But you actually get the realization. Your heart becomes illuminated within the association of devotees. So that's why Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was chastising the sahajiyas so much, who immediately go off on their own thinking, on my own I will revive my original rasa. When actually you do that within the congregational chanting, you do that within the congregational hearing about Krishna. And then, according to how Krishna wants to be served, you may or may not go off on your own for solitary bhajan. Another point you may wonder about here is the bad dreams. And especially we should take note of the troublesome business that the spiritual master accepts for the deliverance of the victims of Kali Yuga. No one likes a bad dream. It's really upsetting even when you wake up. But of course, if you wake up and see the deities participate in Mangalarti and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, you notice the effects of those bad dreams immediately are chased away. But The bad dream also means all of material existence. Material existence is a bad dream. Why, in a bad dream, should we try to find some good elements? This is a good part of the bad dream. Don't waste your time. Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Dvaita Bhadra Bhadra Gyan Sabha Manadama. Why mentally speculate that this is the good part of the bad dream? This is the bad part of the nightmare. Nightmare is all a bad dream. You're supposed to wake up. In the second canto of Bhagavatam, Prichit Maharaj asks Shukadeva Goswami a key question. He says, how does the spirit soul acquire a material body? Does it happen by chance, yadichchaya, or does it happen because of a hetu, a cause? How does this all happen? In other words, we know that the spirit soul is different from the material energy. Nevertheless, there's this situation of a material body. So how do the two apparently come together? What's the reason? Or is maybe there's no reason. Is it just by chance? Shukadeva Goswami in the second canto answers this question. Atma mayam rite rajan prasyanu bhavatmana. Without the influence of Krishna's energy, Atma Maya, his own energy, it is not possible that there can be any relationship between the spirit soul and the material body. Actually, there's never a relationship, but it's not possible that you can hallucinate a relationship unless you're influenced by Krishna himself. In other words, you are pure spirit soul. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this point. You are pure spirit soul. It's not that simply you can contact the avijja shakti, Krishna's illusory energy, and identify with the body. It doesn't work like that. You are pure spirit soul. The illusory energy is the external potency of ignorance. How is it then that you're dreaming, you're hallucinating that you are the body and mind? It's because of Krishna's arrangement. By Krishna's arrangement, that illusory energy overpowers the pure spirit soul. And this is what Prabhupada calls a very perverse situation. It's the strangest thing in existence. That's why sometimes you see devotees scratching their heads, speculating, How did we come into material existence? Did we ever know Krishna before? Because it is a strange, perverse phenomenon to be in Maya. What we take to be so ordinary, our dear friend Maya, our eternal companion, torturing us, but also sometimes offering us nice sense gratification. Sometimes the nightmare is really good. There's a few magic moments within the nightmare. So it is the most perverse thing to think you are the body, to misidentify yourself, pure spirit soul, with the body. It actually shouldn't have happened. And it can happen just by your being in contact with the illusory energy, because you are pure spirit soul. But it can happen by Krishna's arrangement, because Krishna is the manipulator, the master of his potencies. Parasya Shaktir Vividaiva Shruyate. The Supreme Personality of God, it certainly has multifarious potencies. And so by his order, by his will, a perverse situation, a most extreme, extraordinary situation can come about, in that the illusory energy dominates the spiritual energy, you, the pure spirit soul. So you say, why would Krishna do such a thing? It's done to fulfill your desire. So in that sense, actually, Krishna hasn't done it. You can look at things from that angle. It's your mistaken desire that's made the whole mess. And to reciprocate with that mistaken desire, Krishna allows you to be overwhelmed by the illusory energy, which shouldn't ordinarily happen because the illusory energy is inferior. But the inferior potency has overwhelmed the superior potency by the arrangement of Krishna, who is the master of all potencies. It's an unexpected situation to enter into this dream. And Shukadeva Goswami describes Swapna Jastur Ivanjasa. The way the illusion works is that it's like things. You really get into the illusion. In the nightmare, you see that you have a nightmarish body and is doing nightmarish things, and you get totally caught up with it. But anyone who's awake knows what is the value of your seeing your dream body at work in a dream. It's totally foolish. But when you're asleep in the nightmare, you take that dream self that you see so seriously. So this is the example that Shukadeva Goswami gives. By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, you gradually wake up. You have to know what you're waking up to. Otherwise, you won't be inspired to wake up. Therefore, we hear about illusion and the ultimate reality back to Godhead, side by side. It's not enough just to hear the negative. We also have to hear what is the reality. And this is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya that we have access to knowledge of the Supreme Reality. We have clear knowledge of what is the ultimate destination. And by hearing about that ultimate destination, in other words, the process is not just informational. You're not just getting information. By hearing about Goloka Vrindavan, you are associating with Goloka Vrindavan. This is the topmost mysticism, the topmost spiritual technology. By hearing about Krishna, you are associating with Krishna. Unexpectedly, you've contacted the material body by Krishna's arrangement. And within that material existence, which is due to your fault, you have some independence to choose what kind of perverted desire you want to predominantly express at a particular moment. And therefore, there's so many different bodies to accommodate the different types of nightmarish desires. So even within material existence, you have a little independence. You can choose what kind of nightmare you want. Isn't that great? I'll take this type of nightmare. Oh, this is really, this looks good. So you get a certain type of body. Unexpectedly, you have contacted a material body. It's not part of Krishna's program. It's not part of his normal program, but you chose to deviate. You chose to be a pervert. So you get the result. Now, just as unexpectedly as you contact a material body, also unexpectedly you can contact a devotee and develop Krishna prema again. You can revive your dormant love for Krishna. So the unexpectedness goes both ways. Therefore, Prabhupada, in his prayers he wrote before landing in the USA, Markini Bhagavad Dharma, he said, Krishna, this is impossible. These people are in so much maya. But by your will, they went into maya, and by your will, they can come out of maya. Unexpectedly, you went into maya. Unexpectedly, you can come out of maya. There's the contact with the material body that came about, and there's also the contact with the devotee that came about. So this is why we strive to give people contact with devotees. And then once you become a devotee, you should always cherish the association of devotees, even though sometimes there can be misunderstandings, disagreements, but you're always clinging to your lifeline, the association of devotees, and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in that association. And then you can be sure that your spiritual life will develop and reach, once again, its maximum potential. Are there any questions? Yes.
You are saying that spiritual souls unexpectedly contacted the material by the arrangement of Krishna. But when we say spirit souls, isn't it that they are already devoid of material desires in the association of Krishna and no material desires can exist? Then only a spiritual...
You can misuse your independence. We always like to avoid that point. Now look, I was pure. And then how did I contact the material energy if I'm pure? But as you're part of Krishna, because you're part of Krishna, you have independence. It's tiny, though. Krishna is the supreme independent. You're his part. You share his qualities. So Prabhupada would explain this point again and again, and for us it would be in one ear and out the other. You have independence. You can't annihilate that fact. Srila Prabhupada explained very dramatically, just so you might remember. He said, Krishna is not going to say, with a gun in his hand, pointed at you, come here, love me, be happy. What kind of love is that? Are you a married man? Would you like it that you married someone who was forced to marry you? How would you like it if, after all these years, your wife told you, you know, the only reason I married you because I was forced to. How would you like that? No. You want to feel that she's attracted to you because of your wonderful qualities, right? So similarly, you don't want forced love. Why should Krishna, the supreme enjoyer, have forced love? You think Krishna has a lack of intelligence about how to get the best love? So this whole material existence is an arrangement so that Krishna gets what he wants, the pure love of his parts and parcels. The whole material existence is so that you'll properly use your independence again. The material existence results from improper use of independence. It's a perverse situation. And it can't, here's the point, it can't just happen. Material existence cannot just happen by the pure spirit soul being in contact with the illusory energy. Because as you say, right? But Krishna is the master of all his potencies. You see, implicit in your statement is that you think pure spirit soul is independent. That's actually Mayavad. The pure spirit soul is always dependent on the supreme soul. Anything else?
Maharaj just wanted to... thank you very much, Maharaj, for very nicely elaborating that point. Just one further question on the same note. When we hear the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Chaitanya Charitamrita, so he's very merciful avatar, so he awards supreme love of Godhead to many souls, like we hear in the pastimes. So does that mean that these souls which have been already granted the supreme love of Godhead by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they exhibit their free will, independence, always in relation to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like in line with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they don't have to, misuse their independence, than other souls who get liberated from this material world?
I understand the question.
I mean...
Briefly, please.
Yeah. in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu granted love of Godhead to many souls.
He granted it to you also, but will you take it? That is the question. Now, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is independent, he can do whatever he likes. He can even just drown you in love of Krishna if he wants to. Guru Kripa means, regardless of your sadhana, if the spiritual master wants to award you perfection, he can do that. Srila Prabhupada explained what is Guru Kripa. He turned to a disciple and started pushing in his chest. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to just lay it on you, so to speak, just to give it to you, it happens. You can't say, well, what about my independence? Krishna can do whatever he likes, but generally he functions in a certain way. But you see, love has its own dynamics. And once you understand that pure love is the root of all existence, then you can see more clearly all these things, how they relate together. But generally, Krishna won't interfere with your independence, generally speaking. But he can if he wants, because you're his.
Thank you.
Sohas Prabhu.
Hi, Maharaj. Thank you for a wonderful class. And when you see or hear, I should say, about the pastimes in Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita, usually those individuals that get this love of God that we're all striving for, we find that when we study their history a little bit, these are actually devotees from previous, you know, leelas with Krishna. In other words, you know, we're, it's more or less like, it seems like it's recycled, so to speak. You know, there's not like a new person that comes into that relationship and they've gotten that love of God. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's always like, you know, if Lord Chaitanya bestows some mercy on the son of King Pachaparudra. Mm-hmm. But then when we search into that, we find that that son had a relationship with the Supreme mm-hmm. Personality of Godhead mm-hmm. in a particular way, or King Pachaparudra himself. So where do we fall in? Because, you know, like if you look at myself or something, geez.
Yes, yeah. We're looking at you. Serving, looking at you with envy. Envy can be positively used in bhakti. You look at a devotee and think, oh, how wonderful that devotee is doing. I should also try harder. But mundane envy means, look how wonderful that devotee is doing. Let me criticize him, drag him down. But bhakti envy means, oh, look how wonderful the devotee is doing. I should try harder. So, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, yes, you find mercy, more mercy, and infinite mercy. So yes, often the highlight cases, the marquee cases of getting the mercy, they're devotees who are floating in love of Krishna, and then Lord Chaitanya says, drown. So there's always more mercy possible. It's unlimited. At the same time, you'll also find in Chaitanya Charitamrita so many examples of persons who had no bhakti whatsoever. Just like the Mohammedan governor, when Lord Chaitanya was trying to go to Vrindavan, the second time, I believe, yes, he successfully went to Vrindavan. So there was a Mohammedan governor who was a total drunkard, and yet he became such an ecstatic lover of God by contacting Lord Chaitanya. So much so that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says when Lord Chaitanya left that Mohammedan governor, after the governor helped him cross the river and gave him so much protection with his soldiers, Kaviraj Goswami says, you can't describe the feelings of separation that this Mohammedan governor had when Lord Chaitanya moved on. And then, as Lord Chaitanya went everywhere in South India, throughout all his pilgrimage tours, so many people became devotees just by seeing him, and then those persons would go somewhere else, and others would see those persons, and more people would become devotees. Just went on and on with a chain reaction. So, yes, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you see some very dramatic cases of devotees drowning more in the flood of love of God. But there's also the total non-devotees who become stunned with ecstatic love. What to speak of the animals in the Jharikhanda forest? We can all take shelter of that example. The lions and tigers, the tigers and the deer embracing each other and kissing. The elephants roaring Hare Krishna, the tigers roaring the Hare Krishna mantra. So if there's hope for those animals in the Jharikhanda forest, there's hope for us. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare.